Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
The Bible says Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He has just been given the seal of approval by heaven and God himself. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He's doing everything right. He is powerful. He is pure. He is filled and he is marching to God's orders and the devil is fighting him every step.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Every regret we have, guys, in life is because we made a dumb choice. Everything leads back. And we love to, wouldn't we? Blame it on somebody else. I do that all the time. I'm the king of blame. Come on now. Ain't been my fault since I got here. You know what I mean? Ain't never been my fault. That's my wife sitting in the back there, and she can tell you. I ain't never done anything wrong. I told her one time I made one mistake in my life. I thought I was wrong once, and I wasn't. I get aggravated, and I look at her and say, "You made me mad." No, she didn't. I chose to be that way. So I want us to look at our choices tonight in light of what the Bible teaches us about temptation. You got a Bible, it's coming out of Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we read these words. Matthew says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' And Jesus said, answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.' And the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself off, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands you shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' And again the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me.' And Jesus said, 'Away with you, Satan. For it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Now, Father, open your word. Help us understand it so that when we leave here, we have a better understanding of this thing called temptation. And maybe we'll understand what the Bible teaches us, and that is that we have power over temptation. We don't have to continue making the same choices that have brought us to where we are today. So give us that understanding because, Lord, all of us in this room, whether it's the guys who are spending the night here or those of us who came in, all of us are guilty of dumb choices. And I pray that you give us some wisdom today is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If we orchestrated things about the life of Jesus, I figure we'd do things different. If Jesus had been our son and he was coming to earth, he wouldn't have been born to a virgin in a stable. We'd have had him born in a palace somewhere. He wouldn't have come to the country folk, but we'd have put him in the capital city and we'd have had the lights flashing and everybody would have known. And now in Matthew 4, he's beginning his earthly ministry. And again, we'd have done it a little bit different. We'd have hired out the big palace somewhere. The big auditorium, and we'd have had it booked on the radio and the TV, "Coming soon, Jesus of Nazareth." And we'd have wanted it to start out with a bang, some big healing crusade, where he'd stand up and preach the word, and then people would come by, and he'd lay his hands on them, and they'd fall out, and they'd get healed, and that's the way it'd start, but not Jesus. The Bible says the first thing he does is he becomes baptized. He goes to John the Baptist and lets John baptize him. And then when he comes up out of the water, the Bible says that God settled on him in the form of a dove and said, "This is my son, I am well pleased in him." and then soaking wet from the baptismal waters, the Bible says the Holy Spirit takes him into the wilderness, and there Jesus is tempted. Now, I think that's interesting to me, that Jesus, the Son of God, goes from being baptized to face-to-face battle with the devil. A lot of times, I don't understand this, but I know it to be true. Folks, listen to me, guys. That word then means it ties all together. In all four Gospels, the baptism and the temptations go hand in hand. Sometimes, would you be honest, when you feel like you're closest to God, it's when the devil gets the strongest in your life. The Bible says Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He has just been given the seal of approval by heaven and God himself. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He's doing everything right. He is powerful. He is pure. He is filled. And he is marching to God's orders. And the devil is fighting him every step of the way. Some of you guys right now may be just making a decision in your mind of whether you're going to follow the Lord or not. I want to be honest with you. If you decide tonight to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I'm not going to tell you what other preachers will tell you. I'm not going to tell you that all of a sudden things are going to get real easy. I'm going to tell you, expect the worst week of your life. Expect things to get extremely difficult, because the devil gets extremely active the closer we get to God. And the Bible says Jesus is in the wilderness and he's tempted. That means if he's not immune, neither are we. Man, sometimes I wish in my life, and I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I think, I wish that God, when he had saved me, he'd have just took me straight to heaven. Just saved me and took me out of here and not left me here to have to make these decisions. Because guys, let's be honest, when I'm given too many choices, I'm prone to do something stupid. I'm prone to make the wrong one. And the Bible says that we are not immune to temptation. According to Luke 4, Jesus didn't get just tempted three times. Luke 4 says the devil fought him all 40 days. Tempted and probed and tried to bring him down for 40 days. Now here's what I got you to get you to understand. First of all, I need you to understand that with this temptation is not sin. The Bible says Jesus never sinned, but he was tempted. So just because you're tempted to do wrong doesn't mean that's a sin. But on the second thing that I want you to understand is that temptation is not sin, but temptation is our choice, and we don't have to fall for it. None of it is what we have to do. So how do we do this? The first thing that Jesus is going to give us three, how do I describe this? Preventative medicine. Jesus is going to give us three doses of preventative medicines that if we'll take these three doses all the time, we'll be able to deal with this thing. First of all, is we've got to learn how to expect temptation. Don't let it surprise you that you walk out of this place and some nut in your pod gets in your face. And you go from standing up, raising your hands, and being happy to wanting to slap the fire out of somebody. Don't let that be something that surprises, because we're not immune to it. It happens. It happens to us. And we've got to learn how to expect it. Look for it. It's coming. So if it's coming, how do we protect ourselves? Well, I learned this. Can I tell you what I learned? I learned this. The President of the United States has around him Secret Service. No matter where he goes, there are people assigned to him that are there to protect his life and keep him safe. Did you know, I didn't know this, that the Secret Service have what they call a safe field around the president. And it's the size of a football field. And inside that safe field is the president, and those men don't let anything come into that field that could be a danger to the president. And because it is so safe and no one allowed, anything that pops up that's extraordinary, anything that pops up that shouldn't be there is extremely obvious. That's why they call it that safe field. Now, they can't do anything about what's outside the safe field, but they can do something about what's inside. Why are you telling us all that? Because if we're going to win this war over sin in our lives, gentlemen, if we're going to win this war over the bad decisions that are wrecking our lives, we're going to have to wreck the safe field around us. What does that mean? That means that we're going to have to understand that if we're going to effectively follow God, there's some places we can't go. and say, "Preacher, you quit preaching and started meddling." But you see, I'm concerned about your future. I want you to know there's some places you can't go. It can't be in your safe field. There's some people you can't be around. There's some folks you can't fellowship with anymore. There's some folks you can't be friends with anymore. There's some family you can't even go around. Because people that make it easy for you to make bad choices have got to be put on the outside of the safe field. And we've got to do everything we can to keep the safe zone safe. Because, folks, listen to me. I don't care who you are. Not even these guys who did this up here tonight are immune to falling tonight. Look at the Bible. Do you think for 1 minute King David would have ever thought it possible that he would have ever committed adultery with Bathsheba or killed her husband or made all those dumb choices he made? If you had asked him about it a few hours before it happened, he'd have said impossible. I'm a man after God's own heart. I'm a strong, powerful king. I love Jesus with all my heart. It's not possible for me to do that. Was it possible? Yes, it was possible. Can I tell you something? The devil knows when and how to hit us. And can I tell you something? There's not much about you that he's afraid of. Not much at all. Look at the Bible. I'm a big guy. But the devil ain't worried about me. There was a time when I was a big, strong, powerful guy. Now I'm an old, broke-down guy. But there was a time when I was a big, strong, powerful. But the devil doesn't. He considers physical strength nothing. How do I know that? Because he attacked Samson at the very point of his strength and destroyed him. Samson, strongest man who ever lived, thought he was big and bad enough just to poke his chest out, bow his back, and bull his way through life. And he wound up making the dumbest choices he could have ever made. At the very point of what should have been his strength, the devil destroyed him. Some people in this world are smart. I ain't all that smart. But I know some smart people. And some people think they're smart enough to outfox the devil. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. And Satan attacked him at the very point of his wisdom and destroyed him. That man married 1,000 women. What a nut! I love you, baby. I tell her all the time, I wouldn't take $1 million for you, but I wouldn't give a nickel for nothing just like you. You know what I'm talking about. I love her to death. 1,000 women, and this is a smart man. And he wound up marrying all these foreign women, and before it's over with, he's worshiping their foreign gods. You see, the devil doesn't even really care how much you love Jesus. He'll take your fire for Jesus and attack you at that very point. How do I know that? Because nobody loved Jesus more than Simon Peter. He may have said a lot, but he believed it. Jesus said, "I'm fixing to be crucified, fixing to be betrayed tonight and crucified." And Simon Peter said, "Ain't gonna happen. I'll give my life for you. They take you, they're gonna have to take me too. Because I stand right here with you. You can count on me. I will never back up. I'll never leave you." And don't tell me he didn't mean it. He meant every stinking word of it. And the next morning, where is he? Standing beside the fire with the people who are going to crucify Jesus, cussing a blue streak and denying he even knows who Jesus is. The devil looked at all of his commitment and laughed at him straight in the face. So we can't ever make the mistake of thinking we get too big, too strong, are too committed. In fact, we need to remind each other every day, gentlemen, we are one step away from the worst choice we've ever made in our lives. So the first dose is expect it. The second dose is detect it. These all rhyme. I worked on this today. Don't disappoint me when I give you that test in a few minutes. You better know these words. Detect it. You see, Jesus, in these temptations, even tells us how Satan does it. He wants us to win this battle. He says, understand what he does. See, the first time Satan comes to Jesus, he comes and says, turn these stones into bread. Now, the Bible says Jesus has been fasting. That means no food, no drink. For 40 days. I can't do that. Well, I could do that. I won't do that. I come in after 3 hours telling Judy, I'm starving to death. Now, you look at me. I ain't never starved in my life. 40 days. And the Bible says at the end of that 40 days, he was hungry. That's the understatement of the Bible. And the Bible says Satan comes to him and says, hey, man, I know you're hungry. I know you've been doing a good work here, praying all this prayer and all this fasting. Look at these little stones. Don't they look just like a cracker to you? Doesn't that look like just like a loaf of bread? Why don't you? You know you can. You have the power to do it. You're God's son. Why don't you just take that power in your hand and take that rock in your hand and just transform it into a hot loaf of bread, and we won't even worry about butter or anything to eat with. You know you're hungry. Get a snack. It's over. Now let me ask you a question. Stay with me. Why was that a temptation? Jesus was hungry. He's been doing the right thing. The Bible says he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He spent 40 days fasting and praying. He is spiritually powerful. What would be so wrong with turning the stone into bread? He's not hurting anybody. He's not doing anything that's going to cause damage. Here's the point. This fast was not Jesus' idea. It was God's idea. The Bible says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit said, fast for 4 days. Now, there's going to come a point in time when it's time to stop this fast. There's going to come a time when it's time to end it, and God will feed him. We saw that already. The angels came at the point in time and took care of him. You see, for Jesus to do it now is getting things out of order. For him to do it now is getting things out of order. God has a way to end it. God has a way to deal with it. And it's not picking up the stones and turning them into bread. Guys, listen to me, and I want you to hear me. Our physical bodies can sometimes get us in trouble. And what Satan likes to do is take the physical appetites of this body and cause me to try to satisfy them in ways that are outside God's way and God's plan. I believe this is where he starts. I believe most of the time we make mistakes because Satan appeals to something about this flesh. And we fall for it. She walks by. Go ahead, everybody just look down. We're sexual creatures. God knows that. And he has a way, a means, and a time for fulfilling sexual desire. But we get in trouble when we go outside his way. The first thing he does is he says Satan's going to attack you on the physical level. He's going to try to get you to step outside God's prescribed plan. Second thing he's going to do is appeal to your emotions. Bible says Satan took Jesus in the city of Jerusalem to the pinnacle of the temple. That's the highest point in the temple. There was a corner of the temple that overlooked a valley called the Kidron Valley. And from the top of the wall to the bottom of the valley was 450 feet. And Satan takes Jesus there and says, jump off. Because you know God ain't going to let you get hurt. And you'll jump off, and he'll send angels, and they'll just float you down. And you'll hit the ground 450 feet up to there, and nothing will happen to you. And everybody in this town will see it, and they'll come running to you, and you'll be the talk of the town. And Jesus, wouldn't it feel great to just all of a sudden be handed everything? And he appealed to his emotional side. Guys, listen to me. I'm just trying to talk as plain as I know how. Your feelings will get you in trouble most of the time. Stay with me. Here's the truth. Feelings are to be felt, not followed. Would you admit? How many decisions you made in your life based on the fact that it felt good at the time? That you wish you had backed up and not done? He attacked him at the point of his physical side. He appealed to his physical nature. Jesus said no. He appealed to his emotional nature. Jesus said no. And then he attacked him at the point of his spirit and his relationship with God. Took him to the top of a high mountain and said, fall down and worship me and I'll give you all of this. Now immediately some people say, well, that wasn't even a temptation at all because it wasn't Satan's to give. Well, you don't understand the Bible. When God created Adam and Eve and they sinned, they gave control of this world over to the devil. The Bible says the devil right now is the prince of this world. He owns it all. Just look around and see. And what the devil is saying is to Jesus, if you fall down and you worship me, I'll relinquish my control over this planet. I won't tempt another person. I won't set up another kingdom. I won't do another thing. I'll back up out of the way and leave if you'll fall down and worship me. What he's saying is you won't have to go to Calvary. You won't have to die. You won't have to be humiliated. You won't have to suffer. You won't have to do any of that. I'll get out of the way and hand you this world on a silver platter if you'll just fall down and worship me. You see, what Satan is promising Jesus is everything God had said Jesus would have after the cross. And what Satan is saying is, I'll give you a shortcut. I'll make it easy on you. Gentlemen, can I tell you something? There are no shortcuts when it comes to the things of God. Will you please take it from a professional shortcutter who has spent far too much of my life trying to find the easy way out? It doesn't work. Jesus had to pick up his cross, and so do you. It's not about the feel-goods. It's not about beautiful music and us sitting up in here high-fiving and clapping. Jesus described Christianity as discipleship, as discipline, as sometimes doing the right thing just because it's the right thing to do, and you ain't got any other reason for doing it other than that. It's sometimes doing the hardest thing because it's the right thing. So the first dose of medicine is expect it. Don't ever quit expecting it. Don't go back to that rack tonight and climb in that rack and decide I've been to church tonight, so at least for the next few hours I'm safe. No, you ain't ever safe. Detect it. He comes the same way all the time. Don't you think, guys, we at least ought to get smart enough to make it hard on him? Because he's pulling the same mess on you that he pulled on Jesus. And then last of all, reject it. No. Jesus said, no. And notice how he said it. He said, it is written. 3 times. Turn the stones into bread. It is written. Jump off the high point of the temple. It is written. Fall down and worship me. It is written. Notice Jesus did not talk to him about it. Jesus did not negotiate with the devil. Jesus didn't try to negotiate with the situation. Jesus spent no time with it. Why? Because Jesus was God, but he was also a man. And in 40 days of fasting, he was hungry. If he looked at that bread too long, it was possible he could fall for it. If he stood on that temple too long, it was possible he just might jump off. If he stood on that mountain too long, it was possible he just might bow down. And so he looked at the devil in the eye and said, I will not be tempted this way. I will not. And he turned around and he walked away. Gentlemen, listen to me. Now hear me. I want you to hear, and I'm getting ready to dry this up, but I want you to hear me. Folks, we don't have to do it anymore. If you're a child of God, you don't have to make another sorry decision. We can walk away. We can form our safe zone. And we can stand. I didn't say it'd be easy, because it ain't easy. The devil makes sure it's not easy. But let me ask you a question. Isn't it worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it? Man, I look back over my life. There's so many things I wish I had done different. Some people say, do you wish you could live it over again? The answer is no to that, because I know me, I'd do the same stupid stuff all over again. But I do wish I'd had better sense. You say no. Now, guys, I'm getting ready to wrap this up, so please stay with me. See, the Bible says there's an answer to this temptation sin problem we all have in this room. And that is that we play with it too much. You see, here, it is written, the only way you're going to overcome the devil is by that book you got in your hand. And you're going to have to read it and know it. So that the next time he presents a temptation, you're able, you say, here's the truth, guys. Temptation cannot stand in the face of truth. The devil comes and says, why don't you do this right here? You know it would feel good. You know you'll like it. The Bible admits there's pleasure in sin. There is. Come on. But it also says it just lasts for a little while. So you need to know the truth. The devil tells you, doesn't he? He tells you, I'll go ahead. Ain't nobody going to know. Go ahead. This will just be between me and you. You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Can I tell you about something about the devil? He's a liar. He'll show you a mud puddle, push you in it, and then jump on you for being dirty. He'll also say, you can handle it. Don't worry about it. It's just one time. You can handle it. How many times have you and I said that? Somebody say, why don't you quit? I can quit anytime I want to. I can take it or leave it. You ever said that? I can take it or leave it. Can we stop sounding stupid? What other decision is there but take it or leave it? There ain't but two choices.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.